From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Thanksgiving is a day of reflection, a day to think about the blessings that we may have in our own lives. It's also a day for many people when we think about what we may be able to do for others. Joining me today is my friend Celeste Agert. Celeste is the Director of Development for The Road Home. We'll be talking about The Road Home, about the programs that they offer, and also about Utah's larger homeless community.
We've seen a significant increase in families each year, and we continue to strive to get them out into housing as quickly as possible and get them back on their feet.
All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. This is a very special Thanksgiving edition of Downtown SLC. I'm joined today by my dear friend, Celeste Agert. Celeste, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Celeste is the Director of Development for The Road Home, the great homeless shelter that provides services to thousands of Utahns every year. So we're talking today about what we're thankful for and also what we can do to help those who find themselves in need. So we're happy, really happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I know a lot about The Road Home, I feel like, but I think that some of the listeners out there may not know a ton of information about what you do. So maybe if we could start out, just a quick overview. What does The Road Home do? What's your mission? What services do you guys provide?
So The Road Home, we are actually the largest homeless shelter in the entire state of Utah. And our mission is to help people get back on their feet and back into the community. So I think oftentimes when people think of The Road Home, they think that we do shelter and that's it. And that is a very large piece of what we do.
It's an important part of what you do.
And an important piece. You know, we shelter over 7,000 people annually through all of our programs. But it's a small piece of what we do. Mm-hmm. In addition to providing emergency shelter, we also provide emergency services. So we give them those basic necessities, food, clothing, hygiene items. And then we actually have a team of case managers who case manage all of our families and some of the single men and single women population. And a lot of what they do is connect our clients to community resources, things like employment or counseling or whatever it is that they need. And then finally, our largest focus is housing.
Yeah.
It's you can have the biggest shelter in the world, but if you don't have housing to put people into, it's never big enough. So we have an array of different housing programs that we provide. And last year, we housed over 2,000 households out in the community. So really, housing is our primary focus. We're really trying to get people not just out of the shelter, but back on their feet.
Yeah, and with a whole range of services, all those great things that you've mentioned. What's the percentage of families versus individuals, single men or single women?
On a nightly basis, we certainly have more single men than we do families. At the downtown shelter, we have 31 rooms for private families, and we have about 300 single men a night. In the wintertime, we operate our community winter shelter out in the city of Midvale, which just serves families. Right now, our numbers are pretty high. We have about an additional 75 families out there currently.
In addition to the 30 that you have at the Road
Home. In addition to the 30.
So 100 families homeless every night getting shelter from The Road Home.
Exactly. And then when we move the families to Midvale, that creates additional space for men. So we probably have closer to 400 to 500 single men a night.
Every night coming down. You guys really are one of many service providers along Rio Grande Street. And we should say where you're located in case anyone is not aware of that. So
we're 210 South Rio Grande Street, which is 455 West. We're right across from the Gateway Mall, if anybody knows where that is.
Yeah, maybe a little more prominent landmark.
Yeah.
And you partner really closely with lots of other service agencies who are co-located in that same neighborhood.
You know, collaboration is key for us. We can't do it all alone. And so we have great service providers. Across the street from us is Catholic Community Services. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Dining Hall that serves lunch and dinner daily to the homeless. They also have the Wegan Homeless Day Center, which is a drop-in day center for the homeless. On the second floor, we have an emergency services office over there where we provide travel assistance, food, clothing, hygiene items. We work really closely with the 4th Street Clinic.
Just down the street?
Just down the street, 4th West and 4th South. They work with almost all of our clients who have medical needs. We also bring a lot of service providers in, which I don't know that people are aware of. For example, we partner with Valley Mental Health, and we have therapists on site at the shelter who can do mental health treatment with our clients. The Department of Workforce Services has an office on our site, and they will work with clients with any employment-related needs. We also have the Veterans Administration that is housed on site that will work with any of the vets that we serve. So collaboration is really key. I think what I've learned through traveling to other states across the nation is Utah is a pretty unique state, and Salt Lake City is a pretty unique community because we collaborate so effectively. And we hear time and time again from homeless service providers who come to visit us from other states, how do you do it? And we're just really fortunate. We're in a very collaborative community.
Yeah, I think that is sort of a hallmark of what it means to be a Utahan or in Salt Lake City. You know, this is a question that often comes up this time of year. You see people, individuals who may be out on the street asking for money. And one thing that any frequent listeners of this radio program will know, I have very strong opinions about this because, in part because I feel a sense of loyalty to you guys and the great work that you're doing. I'm awed by the work that you do. And it's frustrating to me when people are out there saying, well, I'm hungry or I don't have a place to go or I don't have any of these things. And I know that these things are all available to people in our community, that there is a place for everyone to sleep, a warm, safe place for people to sleep. There are multiple meals served in the downtown area every day, free of charge to people who need that. There's medical care. I'm hopeful that the legislature this year will move forward on a Medicaid expansion because that'll provide even more mental health assistance for a lot of people who really need that. But that's something that I think is helpful for people to understand. And in fact, that impulse that you have to give is the right impulse, but you should do it in the right way through a homeless service provider like the Road Home, who really is making a difference in people's lives.
Well, you know, panhandling, it's such a delicate subject because it really is a personal choice. But one thing that I can tell you from the homeless service provider stance is if you give to a social service agency versus an individual, you truly know it's going to go to those most in need. Right. There's kind of this question mark when you give to a panhandler.
It's hard to know.
It's hard to know. And there are some legitimate people out there in need of help, and maybe there's some that aren't.
Yeah.
So there's a question mark. But when you give to a social service agency, you don't have that question mark. Another reason that I think it's beneficial to give to a social service provider versus an individual is we have a lot of buying power. And so we can stretch that dollar that you would give that individual a lot further than just
individual.
A dollar.
Yeah.
And so you can actually help more people by giving to an agency versus an individual. And, you know, I would encourage people, if you're wondering, you know, is this a reputable charity to support? There's some great resources out there, like Charity Navigator, which is online. They are an independent evaluator of charities nationwide. They look at their percentage of administrative costs versus services costs. They look at how well run they are. Not to brag, but the Road Home has had a 4-star rating, which is the highest rating that you can have with them for 8 years. But that's a great way to check out a social service organization to make sure that it's somebody that you feel comfortable giving to.
Yeah. Well, and I'll mention this too. You don't need to confirm this necessarily, but I do think that frequently when people are panhandling, it's to support a substance abuse habit. And if you're enabling those self-destructive behaviors, you're not really doing that person a favor. So that's another reason to give to a homeless service provider where you know your resources are going to go for something strategic and helpful that will actually help to change people's lives. No one has ever panhandled their way out of homelessness, but you guys have helped. You help thousands of people every year make that transition and get back on their feet, get into a home, get stable in their lives. And it's very impressive.
Well, thank you. And we couldn't do it without the community's support. And I say this all the time, and people say, well, really? And I say, literally, we couldn't.
Right.
Half of our budget comes from private contributions. And as little as $9 moves one person off the street and into the shelter for one night.
Yeah.
So we really exist because our community believes in the cause and believes in the work that we do.
Let's talk a little bit about how people can get involved. So you've got some big events coming up.
We do.
People can always get involved by going online, looking for opportunities to volunteer, opportunities to give. So maybe we can talk generally about that, and then we can get into the specifics of what you're doing for the holidays.
We have a variety of different volunteer opportunities at the Road Home year round. Everything from if you want to come in one time and do a kids activity for the children living in our family shelter, or if you would rather have a weekly set schedule, we have some activities like we have front desk volunteers who assist our staff in answering phones and collecting donations and answering client questions. So there's a wide variety, and all of that is available on our website at theroadhome.org under our volunteer button. But during the holidays, we have some really exciting opportunities. The first one is we do a holiday store every year called Candy Cane Corner. It is in conjunction with the YWCA Domestic Violence Shelter and Volunteers of America Utah.
Again, collaboration. You guys are working together with these other organizations.
Volunteers of America does substance abuse treatment with homeless families. And so what we do every December is we look for a donated space, and then we set it up like a real real store. So everything in the store is new. It's donated from the community. And then the parents in all the programs get to go over to the store with their case manager. They get a voucher to ensure that everybody gets the same amount.
Right.
And they get to hand select new toys and clothing for their children. This store is pretty remarkable. We serve over 2,000 people last year just in the month of December alone. And it fully runs by volunteers.
Huge.
So if anybody is interested in volunteering, we always need help with people wrapping presents, sorting donations. Just visit our website again at theroadhome.org. We have all the information on there. And then another really fun event that we have coming up is our Holiday Mediathon. On December 18th and 19th, we have 10 local radio stations as well as most of the TV stations in town. They come down to the shelter for 2 days and broadcast live, and they encourage all the listeners to drop off in-kind donations and to make monetary donations as well. We secure corporate sponsors so that every hour when everybody donates, their donation is matched dollar for dollar. Last year, we were successful in raising $1.5 million. And we need lots of volunteers. We get probably close to 1,000 volunteers over those 2 days.
Wow, so the 18th and 19th.
The 18th and 19th. Again, if you're interested in volunteering, visit our website. It is a kid-friendly volunteer activity, so you can bring your kids down. And it's really fun. The governor stops by. The mayor stops by. It's a really great opportunity to support the Road Home and have a lot of fun at the same time.
Well, and I think today on Thanksgiving, when we all take a moment not just to eat, but to really pause and give thanks for what we have in our lives, it's a day to really be reflective about that and think about ways that we can give back to the larger community and to people who might not be as fortunate. And you provide that opportunity with in multiple ways, but I would really encourage people to think about this and think about what you've got going on in your life, great things that you've got going on in your life, and really taking an opportunity to work with the Road Home or one of the other service providers to give something back. It's an appropriate day to think about that.
And there's really easy ways to help too. Go through your closet and find those items that you're not using anymore. This time of year, we can use hats, gloves, winter boots, coats. A lot of parents have kids out there that have outgrown. Their winter gear from last year. Bring it down. There's a child in need at the Road Home that can use that donation. And one thing I think people are surprised to know is we accept donations 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you can always come down any day. On the south side of our building, we have a large gate. Just honk at the gate. Our staff will unload. We'll open the gate for you, pull back to our loading ramp. You don't even have to get out of your car. Staff will unload for you and give you a tax receipt.
Yeah.
But that's a really simple, easy way to help out those less fortunate, is just go through your closet and find those items you're not using anymore. I will tell you, our number one needs this time of year are blankets, any size, new or used.
Is that for use in the Road Home, or is that for helping people outside of the shelter?
Both.
Yeah.
We give blankets to everybody that stays in our facility, and then we get a lot of people who, for whatever reason, don't want to come into the shelter system, but they still come to us in need. They're camping out, and they need a blanket, and we're always going to give them a blanket.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about homeless issues on a larger scale, what's happening in our homeless community, and what you can do to help. We'll be back after these messages.
Thanks for listening to KCPW at 88.3 and 105.3 FM with translator facilities at K287AE in Holiday.
We're back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. This is a very special Thanksgiving edition of Downtown SLC. Joining me in studio today is my dear friend, Celeste Eggert. Celeste is the Director of Development for the Road Home, Salt Lake City's homeless shelter, one of the major homeless shelters in the state and really in the Intermountain West. So, sure. Celeste, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You've seen an increased needs over the past couple of years with the homeless community, a big increase in the number of families who need help. Maybe if you could explain a little bit about that and what you think maybe some of those causes might be.
Well, you know, really since the recession in 2007, we've seen our numbers continually increase. The good news, that's the bad news. The good news is the pace of that growth has slowed down significantly. This year versus last year, we actually only had an overall increase of about 1% in our shelter population. But it continues to grow, and there continues to be homeless families and homeless individuals in need, and that is challenging.
You saw a pretty big spike a couple of years ago with homeless families in particular.
We did. You know, when a lot of people, when a lot of the foreclosures happened, not that our families per se were owning homes, but they were living in apartment buildings that got foreclosed on, and then they ended up out on the streets and ended up turning to us. But yeah, we've seen a significant increase in families each year, and we continue to strive to get them out into housing as quickly as possible and get them back on their feet.
I want to talk a little bit. Sometimes I think people want to get involved. Maybe, you know, they have a church group that they're working with. They have, a bunch of food left over from an event or something. Want to do the right thing, want to be helpful with that, and they come down and on their own decide to give out food or clothing or other things to homeless people. I think that impulse is so admirable, but I know that there are better ways of doing that. And maybe you could address that a little bit.
Well, and I agree with you. I think that impulse is very admirable. And I love that people want to help out that way. There's some challenges if you're doing that out on the street. I would encourage you, your listeners out there, rather than doing that on the street, to contact a service provider. So for example, at the Road Home, we'll take, you know, if you have a wedding and you have leftover food or a corporate event, bring it down and we'll get it to the clients. When you're giving it to people out on the street, it's not a guarantee that it's getting to those most in need.
Right.
It can be challenging and it can be dangerous. Sometimes, large crowds will form, and we would just hate for anybody to get hurt. And really, you know, we can do it in a more organized fashion through the service providers. I had a mom last year during the holiday season that had a garbage bag full of $1 bills, and she had a 3- and 4-year-old, and she was going to walk out on the street and pass out those $1 bills. And I love that mom wanted to show her kids to help others. And I think that was incredibly admirable, but I worried about her safety because I don't know who's out there on the street. I would hate for anything to happen to those little girls. And so there's some better ways to do it. We just appreciate the community being so generous, but try to work through the service providers if you can. It's ideal. And that way, again, just like with the issue of the panhandling, you know it's going to those most in need.
Right.
There are some folks that hang out around the shelter that aren't, in fact, homeless, and they're there for maybe not such great reasons.
Right.
And so that creates a challenge.
Well, I think in the same way that I would never attempt to fill a cavity because I'm not a dentist, I would probably not presume to represent someone in court because I'm not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. You guys are the professionals. You have an understanding of who's out there, what their needs are, and the best way to help meet those needs. And people should trust you and have that confidence in what the Road Home and other service organizations are doing. And again, the impulse to want to help out is exactly the right thing to do.
It is.
Just do it in the right way. Just be smart about the way that you do it. I heard someone one time was driving down Rio Grande Street throwing burritos out their car at people. Like, in what world is that all right? You don't throw burritos at people. That's not the right way to help.
We had a gentleman just a couple weeks ago throwing dollar bills outside his car as he drove down Rio Grande Street.
It's crazy. That's not good.
It's very dangerous, quite frankly. And I just worry about the safety not only of of the folks out on the street. I worry about the safety of the donor who's actually doing that. It's just there's better ways.
Better ways. Right impulse. Better ways to do it. It's a good thing. I wanted to, because it is Thanksgiving, I think it's a day to be reflective of you know, the good things that we may have in our own lives. I also want to talk about the success stories, because you guys really do see a lot of success stories. You see people who, either because they've made bad decisions or because they've had circumstances in their life that have been very difficult, have found themselves kind of at the road home as their last and best hope. And then who have turned their lives around. And if you could maybe share a couple of stories of people who you have seen make dramatic changes without naming names, because I want to respect people's privacy as well.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the greatest things about working at the Road Home is that you literally every day see people change their lives. And I think, you know, I get asked often about, well, what stories stick out to you and what are impactful? And there's just so many. It's hard to pick. But, you know, one of the areas that I think we're most proud of is our work with chronically homeless individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, 90% of the population who comes through our doors, they will stay for 30 days or less and we'll never see them again.
They move on with their life.
They move on with their lives.
Periodic episode of homelessness just, and then they move on. Yeah.
But about 10% are what we call chronically homeless, and they oftentimes have physical health issues, mental health issues, and substance abuse issues, or all of the above. And the shelter tends to become their permanent housing destination, not by choice, but rather by circumstance. We've worked really hard to develop different kinds of housing for this population. Palmer Court is a great example. Yeah. It's an old Holiday Inn we bought on 999 South Main Street and converted into 201 apartments for formerly chronically homeless families and individuals. And when I think of Palmer Court, I think of this one particular client. I'll call her Claire. That's not a real name. But Claire was in and out of shelter for probably, I've been with the agency 17 years. Wow. I knew her for at least 12 of those years. And she was incredibly mentally ill, and it just had a horrific life. Had an abusive partner, had children, had them removed from her custody, mm-hmm. For a while was substance abuse using to self-medicate the voices in her head. She was a very angry, angry woman. And she was one of the first clients we put in Palmer Court. And quite frankly, I was holding my breath about her. And Claire, actually, I was just over at Palmer Court this weekend, and she's still over there, and she's actually one of our model clients.
Wow.
She's no longer abusing substances. That's not always the case. I don't want to make it sound like that always happens, but she's actually been sober for a couple years now, and she is kind of become like the mother of Palmer Court, and she checks in on the other residents, and she's really great. She's one of the first residents to volunteer anytime the staff need help, and she's probably going to live at Palmer Court for the rest of her life. She really has some severe mental health issues, mm-hmm. but she's seeing a therapist now, and actually getting treated for the first time in her life. So that's just one example.
That's awesome.
But, you know, you think about the holidays and you think how grateful we should all be. And I tell this story often at the holidays, and it always makes me cry when I tell this story. But I just want, you know, folks out there to realize how fortunate we are. Probably about 5 years ago, I had an incident with one of the kids that was living at the shelter, and we had a volunteer group come in one night, and I was racing to get this volunteer group set up because they came in a little late and we were behind schedule, and this little boy just kept coming up to me. He was about 5 years old and pulling on my pant leg, and I kept telling him, just a minute, I've got to take care of this group. And so finally, after about 10 minutes of him tugging on my leg, I looked at him and I said, "What do you need, Jonathan?" And he looked at me and he said, "Is that Santa?" And the volunteer group had brought in a Santa Claus, mm-hmm. For their activity. And clearly it was Santa. He had a beard. Right. He was wearing the suit. I'm like, "Well, yes, that is." And I'll never forget. He looked up at me and he said, "I never thought he'd find us here." Mm-hmm. And that, to me, just hits home during the holidays here is these kids. That's what I think about, is these kids who are living in an experience that is anything but normal. And anything that we can do to mitigate the effects of homelessness on these kids, it's so important.
Celeste, thanks so much. Thanks for your
Thank
work.
You. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Have a very happy Thanksgiving.